2. War of espionage and disinformation. Communism holds the nation to be an oppressive construction of class society, and it aims to abolish nationality. In the Communist Manifesto, Marx and Engels proclaim that working men have no country. The manifesto ends on the note, "Workers of all countries, unite." Under Lenin's leadership, the Bolsheviks founded the first socialist country in Russia and immediately established the Communist International, Comintern, to instigate and spread socialist revolution around the globe. The goal of the Soviet Union and the Comintern was to overthrow the legitimate regimes of every nation on earth and establish a socialist world dictatorship of the proletariat. In 1921, the Comintern's Far East branch set up the CCP, which would take over China in 1949. Apart from the CCP, communist parties around the world sought guidance from the Comintern and accepted its funds and training. With the resources of a vast empire at its disposal, the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, CPSU, recruited activists around the world and trained them to carry out subversive operations in their own countries. Founded in 1919, the Communist Party USA, CPUSA, was one such organization that followed the Comintern and the CPSU. Though the CPUSA itself never became a major political force, its influence on the United States was nevertheless significant. The CPUSA colluded with activists and activist organizations to infiltrate workers and student movements, the church, and the government. Dr. Fred Schwartz, a pioneer of American anti-communist thought, said in 1961, "Any attempt to judge the influence of communists by their numbers is like trying to determine the validity of the hull of a boat by relating the area of the holes to the area which is sound. One hole can sink the ship." Communism is the theory of the disciplined few controlling and directing the rest. One person in a sensitive position can control and manipulate thousands of others. It is now known that Soviet operatives were active within the U.S. government during World War II. Despite this and the anti-communist efforts of Senator Joseph McCarthy, the facts were hidden or obscured from the public by leftist politicians, academics, and the left-wing media. In the 1990s, the U.S. government declassified the Venona files decoded by American intelligence during the 1940s up to the end of World War II. These documents show that at least 300 Soviet spies were working in the U.S. government, including high-ranking officials in the Roosevelt administration who had access to top-secret information. Other agents used their positions to influence American policymaking and statecraft. Among those found to be Soviet spies were U.S. Treasury official Harry Dexter White, State Department official Alger Hiss, and Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, the couple who were executed by electric chair for transmitting military secrets and atomic technologies to the Soviet Union. The communications intercepted and decrypted by the Venona project are just the tip of the iceberg. The full extent of Soviet infiltration in the U.S. government remains unknown. As high-ranking American officials, some of the Soviet operatives had opportunities to influence important political decisions. Alger Hiss, the Soviet spy in the State Department, played a key role as President Franklin D. Roosevelt's advisor during the Yalta Conference at the end of World War II. He helped determine post-war territorial arrangements, draft the United Nations Charter, decide prisoner exchanges, and the like. Harry Dexter White, a trusted aide to Secretary of the Treasury Henry Morgenthau Jr., helped create the Bretton Woods International Financial Agreement and was one of the major personalities behind the establishment of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. White encouraged the Chinese Nationalist Party, Kuomintang, to enlist underground CCP member Yi Xiaoding in the Chinese Ministry of Finance. Taking up the post in 1941, Yi was the architect of disastrous currency reforms that damaged the Kuomintang's reputation and benefited the CCP's rise. Some historians argue that the influence of Soviet spies and their left-wing sympathizers in American foreign policy led the United States to end military aid to the Kuomintang during the Chinese Civil War after World War II. Mainland China was consequently lost to the CCP. Some scholars, such as M. Stanton Evans, argue that Soviet spies were most successful at influencing policy. Whitaker Chambers, a Soviet informant and CPUSA associate who later defected and testified against other spies, said, "The agents of an enemy power were in a position to do much more than purloin documents. They were in a position to influence the nation's foreign policy in the interest of the nation's chief enemy, and not only on exceptional occasions, but in what must have been the staggering sum of day-to-day decisions." Yuri Bezmenov, a KGB agent who defected to the West, discussed Soviet methods of subversion in his writings and interviews. According to Bezmenov, the James Bond-style spies of popular culture who blow up bridges or sneak around stealing secret documents couldn't be further from the reality of espionage. Only 10 to 15% of the KGB's personnel and resources were allocated to traditional spy operations, with the rest going to ideological subversion. Basmenov said that subversion comes in four stages. The first step is to foster the cultural decadence and demoralization of the enemy country, the second is to create social chaos, and the third to instigate a crisis that would lead to either civil war, revolution, or invasion from another country, culminating in the fourth and final stage of bringing the country under the control of the Communist Party. This is called normalization. Basmenov, alias Thomas Schumann, listed three fields of subversion: thought, power, and social life. Thought covers religion, education, the media, and culture. Power includes government administration, the legal system, law enforcement, the armed forces, and diplomacy. Social life encompasses families and communities, health, and relations between people of different races and social classes. As an example, Basmenov explained how the concept of equality was manipulated to create unrest. Agents would promote the cause of egalitarianism, making people feel discontent with their political and economic circumstances. Activism and civil unrest would be accompanied by economic deadlock, further exacerbating labor and capital relations in a worsening cycle of destabilization. This would culminate in revolution or invasion by communist forces. Ion Mihai Pasapa, the highest-ranking intelligence official in communist Romania, defected to the United States in 1978. He further exposed how the former Soviet Union and communist regimes of Eastern Europe adopted strategies of psychological warfare and disinformation against Western countries. According to Pasapa, the purpose of disinformation was to alter people's frame of reference. With their ideological values manipulated, people would be unable to understand or accept the truth even when presented with direct evidence. Basmenov said the first stage of ideological subversion usually took 15 to 20 years, that is, the time needed for the education of a new generation, the second stage 2 to 5 years, and the third stage only 3 to 6 months. In a speech he gave in 1984, Basmenov said the first stage had been accomplished to a greater extent than the Soviet authorities had originally expected. The accounts of many Soviet spies and intelligence officials and declassified documents from the Cold War suggest that infiltration tactics were the driving force behind the counterculture movement of the 1960s. In 1950, McCarthy began to expose the extent of communist infiltration across the U.S. government and society. But 4 years later, the Senate voted for his condemnation, and the government's initiative to rid itself of communist influence was brought to a halt. This is one of the main reasons for the decline of the United States. The threat of communist infiltration has not lessened since the collapse of the Soviet Union and the end of the Cold War. As an example, McCarthy has been demonized by left-wing politicians and the media for ages. Today, McCarthyism is synonymous with political persecution, an indication that the left-wing has successfully established dominance in the ideological struggle. The decades of suppression and defamation meted out to U.S. anti-communist heroes like McCarthy indicate a general trend. As one conservative American political commentator observed, anti-Americanism is a natural component of the global left-wing movement. The left-wing fights tooth and nail to protect adulterers, abortionists, criminals, and communists, while supporting anarchy and opposing civilization.